Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Hellmouth. I am one half of your Just Jocelyn fam, Sabrina.
And I'm the other half, Jasmine Heron. This week, we made it. We have made it to graduation part one and part two. So this is season three, episodes 21 and 22. Can you believe we're already here?
No, I really can't, actually.
This is our final Just Buffy season. We are now moving into the expanded Whedonverse.
I mean, Angel is still considered within the Buffyverse, but it's two separate shows now.
Yes. We're now branching out.
Yes. And I do have one fun fact for part one, and it's actually for me a gross fact. So in this episode, there's a scene where Mayor Wilkins is eating those giant spider bugs from hell. Mm-hmm. And they're
actually humans.
Yes, they're made of licorice, actually. I think I would have preferred, if it were me, to actually eat spiders than black licorice. I hate black licorice.
But you notice, when he's eating it, his mouth is kind of, stained with, the black.
And that's why. It was black licorice put in a way that it looked like those spider demon bugs.
Gravlox. Gravlox. Not Gravlox. So we start off with Cordelia and Xander, and everybody's picking up the caps and gowns, and Cordelia says that she's not a fan of the maroon. She wanted teal. Mm-hmm. Which teal isn't one of their school colors, is it? Their school colors are yeah. Anyways,
it's a Cordelia color.
She ends up wearing teal later for graduation, underneath her gown. So and Xander's talking about how he believes he is going to die.
Yep. He's been too lucky too many times.
Mm-hmm. But he and Cordelia are talking, and they're not sniping at each other anymore. They're actually just having a nice conversation.
Yep. Well, no one's sniping at each other now. I mean, even Harmony and Willow.
Yep.
To some extent, I remember that happening in high school, senior year, but not to that extent where, bullies and the bullied were suddenly oh, yes, let me sign your yearbook. No.
Yep.
It wasn't quite like that, but.
Well, we didn't actually sign yearbooks because our yearbooks didn't come out until basically the next year.
So they changed that for my year. Our yearbook staff were like, that's stupid. And what happened was we had our yearbooks before graduation. Then we got sent an insert with the photos from graduation.
Oh, okay. So for us, we had basically little, almost trading cards of our senior picture that we would get. And we would write little notes to each other and we'd give them out to our friends. So.
Yeah, we still did that.
I have trading cards of my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did that as well, but we also then got the yearbook. I haven't even looked at who all signed my yearbook in forever, but I know it was no one that I hated. So the Scoobies are all gathering and talking. And one of the things we learn is that there's only about 100 people in their graduating class, which isn't that shocking considering how many people tend to die at Sunnydale High. And we've talked before about how they appear to have really small classes.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the number of students in there, which is great for, students learning, but also, they're the same kids in all the same classes, so.
Less than 20 students per class.
Mm-hmm. So,
we hear, you know, Buffy says that she's planning on skipping graduation because she has to go fight the mayor. And then Xander reveals, much to Willow's disappointment, that it is not Siegfried Roy or one of the Tigers. It's the mayor who is going to be their commencement speaker.
Yes.
And again, Xander's like, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm.
And Buffy's now like, crap, I'm going to graduation.
Yep.
And then we go to Faith has stopped by this professor's house. Professor Lester something or another. And he's, you know, he was very happy to find that the mayor wanted, you know, some information about his work, that he was interested. And of course, we, the audience, are like, it's not good, that face there. Don't answer her question about if you're alone.
Yeah, I know. I know. He's, yeah, are we alone here? Like, you know,
a woman would know not to answer that question.
The maid is on her way. She'll be here momentarily.
But my maid / karate instructor.
And she's very calm about it at this point. And she seems to be reveling in the murder, where she says, you know, turn and face the wall. He says he'll scream. She says, who wouldn't? Like, you know, she's just doing a job, and
she's a cold-blooded killer at this point.
Yep. And, like, and the professor asks why, and she says, I never thought to ask. Like, she's just, you know, she's just the hired hand now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she, since she enjoys murdering so much, like, it's not a problem for her. She's mm-hmm. just like, yeah, sure, I'll go kill this guy.
Yep.
So this is the third human that she's killed that we are aware of.
So then we go back to her apartment, and the mayor is cleaning. She's in the other room. They're talking back and forth, and he's like picking up and straightening up, like very fatherly. And he, you know, asks her to come out, and she's wearing this very pretty, modest pink and white dress. And she's barefoot, and she's like, she still has her Faith makeup on, mm-hmm. but she looks more like a little girl. And yeah. You're giving me a look. What are you giving me this look for?
I hate that dress. It's so ugly. But it's something that the mayor would like.
Also, I feel like Buffy could pull off that look. Like, it does not work with Faith's coloring, but I feel like Buffy could pull off the, like, pink and white and floaty look.
Maybe, but I'm not a big fan of dresses with the little floral print all over it. Like, go bigger. Like, if you're going to wear flowers, I think that they should be gigantic-ass flowers. Which definitely would not have worked at this time. But I'm just not a fan of that dress. I think it does nothing for Faith.
Yeah. So, but again, they have this father-daughter moment. And he's like, this is not just my ascension. This is your day too. You get to become whoever you want to be. And like, mm-hmm. you know, it's sweet. It's a sweet moment. And then he says, go change into your street clothes. I'll buy you an icy.
Yeah. Obviously an icy for becoming a serial killer, because three or more deaths and you graduate to being a serial killer.
Three or more separate instances. They can't be all together.
They can be. You just have to change, like, so there's a serial killer that happened in Wook's Bear, and so it can all happen on the same day. You have to change location. And that's what happened. He killed someone, it was all members of his own family. He killed the person who was actually living with him, and then drove across town to kill the rest of his family. He killed more than three people. He's considered a serial killer because he changed that location.
Instead of being a spree killer?
Correct. Serial killer. Three or more.
Anyway, as we tap into our criminal minds.
Yeah. Murderino.
Yep. But Faith says she doesn't want to let the mayor down, and he says it's impossible. You know,
no father could be prouder.
Yep. And then we've flashback to Percy, who got a B- in history, and thanks Willow for not kicking his ass like she did that one time at the Bronze. And
Willow has a sweet bike in this scene too. Like, did you see the bike she's riding? Like, that's a pretty cool bike.
I don't know enough about bikes to like know.
Wow, it looks very cool and hip to me. I know nothing about bikes as well, but it appears cool.
And yeah, but anyway, she managed to play it cool. She says, "Percy, that was for your own good. Like, I'm not gonna reveal it. I'm gonna say, you know, yes, that was me in the dominatrix outfit." Mm-hmm. And yeah,
Oz wanders up as well at this point. And Percy says he can't wait to forget all this information that he'll no longer need after graduation.
Yep.
And Oz says, you know, bright spot, he might not live long enough to forget it. And that's how Oz is throughout basically this entire episode and into next episode. Like, he's bringing, like, the dark humor.
Yes, he is very, you know, as Willow puts it, was it detached, ironic guy?
Yeah. He's giving us Xander level lines, but with the deadpan.
Yep.
Like, because usually it's Xander's humor that's this dark, not Oz's. But like, it's going well, Oz. Keep it up.
Yep. And this was such a like flashback to high school for me. Usually it was like right before winter break or after finals. Xander trying to sneak into class and the teacher saying, like, you've done your finals, but you still have to show up and you still have to participate. And they're playing Hangman.
Yep.
And so then Anya is talking to Xander and she is trying to awkwardly ask him out on a date. And he is, you know, being snarky with her and mean. I do love the line. She's like, men like sports. I'm sure of it. And he goes, yes, men like sports. Men watch the action movie. They eat of the beef and they enjoy to look at the bosoms. Mm-hmm. 1,000 years of avenging our wrongs and that's all you've learned.
Yep.
Yep, because that's all that stayed the same. Like, mm-hmm. After all these years, the intricacies might change, but they pretty much stayed the same.
Yeah, either that or just all the men she was sent to torture were all very much so that stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Xander says, you know, I'm sorry for being so snarky. Like, if we survive the ascension, we can hang out. And she's like, ascension? And we find out that Anya has survived an ascension before, which is very helpful to the Scoobies.
Yep.
And Xander literally, like, drags her with him. Because she no longer wants to be in Sunnydale.
Yep.
So, and right before library.
We go to the library.
Yeah, and before Anya and Xander come in, Buffy has, this murder has made, you know, the front page of the newspaper. And she was like, Faith did this, obviously.
And Josh and Wesley are fencing. Mm-hmm. They're fencing.
Yeah, and Giles is much better than Wesley. Wesley's actually trying, and Giles is basically drinking tea and, like, being like, yes, 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 I wave my arm and you suck. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
He takes the paper and he's reading it with one hand while parrying Wesley's attacks. He's like, yeah, yeah, like.
Mm-hmm, yep. And Wesley's really trying, and Wesley really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But
I do like Wesley's line though, that everyone seems to be going a bit mad and Faith has a bit of a head start.
Yes. Yeah, they talk a lot about Faith losing her damn mind throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And next. But so it's basically decided that, you know, Buffy's going to have to go check this out because it does look like Faith has accidentally led them to something by killing this man. Like, he must have known something, this geologist. So Xander then, you know, comes in dragging Anya, and they're like, if you don't have anything to add to this, and it's like, got things to add, many a thing, meet someone who survived an ascension from 800 years ago. Anya was supposed to be, you know, inflicting torture upon this shepherd, and I mean, I'm assuming that Healy's got some of the torture before shit went down, but it probably wasn't as satisfying for the woman she was helping as she was hoping.
Yep.
Anya said, you know, only about 3 people actually got out of that town. She said it was the worst thing she had ever seen. And she's seen and done a lot of horrible things.
Yeah. And so she says that he turns into a Lohesh demon. And Wes is like, a Lohesh demon isn't that, like, fierce, like, of all the demons we faced. And Anya's like, you've never seen a demon. And she then reveals that every demon that walks the earth is tainted with human blood. They're human hybrids, but the ascension means becoming a pure demon. And they've never come up against one of those before.
Well, technically, they very well may have. The thing that has come out of the Hellmouth twice, that might have been a pure demon. It seems like that was a pure demon.
Yep.
But, you know, they're not, it's not like, you know, the friendly demons we have walking around who, if you stab them, will give you some of their powers.
And I don't believe we actually ever killed that demon. They just fought it back and then closed the Hellmouth.
Yes. So they fought them, but they arguably have not yet killed one. So the, at this point, also, so the mayor is meeting with Principal Snyder, going over the graduation ceremony, and he's telling Snyder what a great job he's done, and Snyder's like, I like order. And of course the mayor's also someone who enjoys order, and they have this conversation about how, you know, the mayor says, like, I know Sunnydale's not a usual town, but you've done a good job.
Yep.
I'm gonna eat you tomorrow, but you've done a good job and you deserve to know that beforehand.
Yep.
And then the mayor, you know, walks in on the Scoobies. Willow and Oz have joined, but the mayor comes on in and he basically starts gloating to everyone what's going to happen. And he says that he's going to eat Buffy, and when he, and like talking to Giles, like a father to a father, then he says he's going to eat Buffy, and Giles just stabs him, and Giles knows that nothing is going to like happen, but it feels real good. And the mayor like doesn't even really bleed, like maybe a little, but it's not like he's gushing blood from having a fencing stick stuck through him, or sword, not stick, but
he takes out his hanky and he wipes the blood off, like, oh, here you go. Like, must make sure it's neat and orderly.
Well, it's real smart, too, because, I mean, he, right now he's not, he can't be killed. However, as someone who is a sorcerer, has been around for a long time, he knows very well that it's not great to be leaving your blood around.
Yep.
So I've always really appreciated that, where he cleans off his blood and takes that hanky with him, like, oh, no, 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 you don't get any of this.
Yep.
You no voodoo doll for you. Yeah. And at this point, Anya's like, yeah, I'm getting the hell out of here. Bye. Yep. And I love the scene where Joyce comes home and is talking to Buffy, and Buffy's like packing up stuff. And Joyce is like, what is this? You're leaving? And you're taking my clothes?
Yep. But first, we have another Xander Cordelia moment where Anya's freaking. And Cordelia's like, what's going on? And he's like, she's freaking because the mayor's going to kill us all during graduation. And she goes, oh, okay. Are you going to go to fifth period? And he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to skip it. And she's like, all right, me too. Like, yeah, we might all die tomorrow. Don't feel like going to fifth period class.
Also, at this point, it doesn't really matter. They're graduating anyway.
Yep. I did not skip my classes even when I was going to I was a goody two shoes. But so Buffy and Joyce have the conversation where Buffy is like, something bad is going to happen at graduation tomorrow. And Joyce is like, okay, well then leave with me. And Buffy says, no, I can't. I have to fight this fight. Like, this is, and it's not really, it's not just her job. It's her calling. And I think that this is sort of like a conversation that parents of soldiers have. Although I personally believe that we're sending way too young individuals off to the military. But there are people who feel called, like not just, oh, I need it so that I can go, you know, get into college, or I need it for college. But there are people who do feel called to serve. And they have those conversations with their parents of, this is something that I feel I have to do, I need to do, because I want to protect my country, or in Buffy's case, protect humanity. And
And I think especially, so this is 1999, we're going to see in 2 years, there's going to be a flood of young folks joining the military after 9/11. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people make that decision to join the military because they want to defend their country.
Yeah. Again, I feel that we are sending way too young individuals into the military, that you should be older before you...
It's a paradox, because you get older, here's the problem, you're less likely to join the military, one, and two, you're more likely to have a family to support, so then you're winding up with kids who don't have parents. Yeah. And when we started, you know, where you could join the military at such a young age, people weren't living as long as they are today.
Well, we talk about the fact that, like, your brain is not fully developed until around the age of 25. Mm-hmm. Should you really be putting high-powered weapons and high-stress, like, life-and-death situations in the hands of someone whose brain isn't fully developed?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I think the other, I think a lot of it, again, is that they wouldn't get 25-year-olds signing up for the military. Because another, well, in America at least, one of the reasons why people sign up in droves for the military is because they need the money. Like, they don't have, like, it's not even about going to college. It's like, I need to be able to eat. It would be nice if my family could eat too. So there was a lot of articles written about how, especially around 9/11, when they needed folks to join the military, there's a lot of recruiters heading to specifically poor schools and looking to recruit certain demographics that they felt would be more likely to join up.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, so we have, it's funny that we're talking so much about the military, because military knowledge will become very important in the next episode.
Next season.
And next episode.
Next episode.
Yeah, next episode specifically.
All right, so then Buffy says, like, if you stay, you'll get me killed. Would you trust me? And her mom says yes. Like, her mom doesn't say yes, but it is implied that her mom agrees to leave town. So then we go to Willow's room, and we kind of get, like, the side pan of, like, Amy the rat, like, chewing on her cage. Oz is on his computer, Willow's reading, she's trying to look up a spell, I don't know what he's looking up, but, this is one of, she says, if we're looking to make ferns invisible or communicate with shrimp, and shrimp show up a lot. As, like, a side comment throughout many seasons. And this is, I think, our first shrimp reference.
I think it's the second one. She's made other shrimp references. Last season? We've talked about shrimp before with Buffy.
Okay.
Well, not with Buffy, with Willow.
Well, I'll have to go look. But this is the first time I can remember hearing a shrimp reference. So, because we start talking about parallel universes later. Mm-hmm. A world with all shrimp or no shrimp.
And it's at this point that Oz says, our lives aren't like other people's.
Yep.
And it is not.
Yep. And Oz is trying to be, you know, not cheerful, but deadpan, ironic. Mm-hmm. And Willow says that she is panicking and she would like, you know, to feel like Oz is in it with her instead of being ironic detachment guy. And so she says, you know, it would help if you were panicking. And she's over and he starts kissing her. And she's like, what are you doing? And he says, panicking. And ba-dum-cha.
I want to go out.
But I also think, you know, she says that it would help if, like, they were in it together. And he previously told her when they had sex, he wanted it to be something that they were doing together for the same reasons. Well, she said there were all these things that she wanted to do that she was really looking forward to doing. Mm-hmm. And one of them was probably sex. And he's like, well, yes, I would like to look forward to having sex with you too. Let's give that a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I appreciate how Oz deals with his panic in his humor, because he's always funny, right? Like, Seth Green, like, does Oz a wonderful service throughout Buffy. Like, nobody else could have played Oz as far as I'm concerned. And he really shines. Like, his humor is so dang good in these two episodes, specifically. And I too deal with, you know, shitty situations and stress with really dark humor. So, like, I'm there, Oz. I got you.
Yep. Yep.
But I have so many, like, so when we, I'm skipping ahead a little bit on this, but when they do come back, you can see that, like, a shirt is, like, thrown over Amy's cage a little bit. I wonder if they did that on purpose. Like, don't look at this, Amy. You freak.
Amy, we require, it's like the sock on the door for roommates, but mm-hmm. It's the shirt over the cage.
Yep. I don't know how much of this you'll retain, Amy, but it's weird.
Mm-hmm.
When your friend has turned themselves into a rat and are now your pet.
Yeah, yeah. So Buffy's at Professor Worth's apartment. Lester.
Yeah, because I keep thinking Lester the Molester. Never name your kid Lester. It's a terrible name.
Yep. And Angel, like, stubs his toe and bangs into the door jamb as he's walking in. And Buffy's like, oh yeah, good, like, great, stealthy.
And I love that he says ow too.
Yeah. Ow. So he says that he's here to back her up. Mm-hmm. Buffy's like, he's afraid I'm gonna run into Faith. And Angel says, you know, you're not. And Buffy's like, yeah, it's gonna happen. So they're looking over the report, but it's very wordy. So she's gonna bring it back to Giles so that Giles can do the reading thing. Angel says, let me give you a hand. Buffy's like, I don't need your help for carrying boxes. Like, I'm a big, strong girl. It feels weird because you were there for prom, and then you're leaving, and there's a whole breakup thing, and, like, you're here, and you're there, and you're not. Like, and Angel says, are you mad at me for being around too much, not being around enough? And she says, yes. And he's like, I don't get you. And she's like, no, you don't. Not anymore.
Yep. And he calls her a brat, like, says that she's being a brat. And, like, he's upset too. And then he gets an arrow through his chest, not through his heart. And mm-hmm. It's very clear to everyone that Faith has just shot him.
Yep.
Buffy takes him back to the library. They take out the arrow. But it doesn't really...
He does the 1, 2, 3, but pulls out on one thing. Yeah. Which is, I feel like anytime anyone says, I'm going to go on 3, you know they're going to go on 1. Mm-hmm. They say it's to stop you from tensing, but you're tense the entire time they're counting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then, like, so they pull out this arrow, and it's very quickly revealed that there be poison in that arrow, because Angel collapses. they're also, so at the same time now, they have to research the poison that has been injected into Angel and go over the professor's research that Buffy has brought back. And they find out that in an excavation in Kauai that the professor was doing, they found a very large carcass, which he thought was a dinosaur, but they're all like, demon, it's a demon.
Yep.
And sure enough, like, from that, they're able to tell what kind of demon it is. And also that tells them that once the mayor transforms, he can now be killed.
Yep. Because there's a dead one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A dead one exists.
Which they kind of probably should have figured out since there weren't these demons roaming the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I imagine, like, they don't just descend, become a demon, and go, I guess I'm going to go to a hell dimension. Like, you would think that they'd be, like, smorgasbord of humans.
Yep. And so, at this point, Angel is, like, stumbling, and they realize that he's poisoned. And Giles says, move him to the safety of his own bed before sun comes up. And Wesley says, the council has all the toxins on file, you know. I'll contact them immediately, and we'll find out how to cure Angel.
Yep.
Which,
good on Wesley.
Yep. Except until he's given an order.
Yes. Yeah. His initial reaction here, though, is good.
Yep.
Because Wesley is basically a soldier.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a do as you're told, follow the rules, do not think outside the box personality.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so Giles is like, we'll assemble the squad. And so they call Willow.
Post-coital Willow and Oz.
Mm-hmm. And they go from like this happy glow to, oh shit. And then Willow's like, we gotta go. Basically, the bat signal has gone up.
Yep.
And then we also go to the mayor's office, and Faith is saying, you know, how great it was shooting Angel and how sad everyone is. And the mayor's like, good, that'll keep everyone busy for a little bit.
Yep. While he eats, he ingests. And Buffy's like, Faith is like, ingest? And he's like, eat. She's like, gross!
Mm-hmm. Yep, his giant licorice bugs.
Yep. And so he calls Faith a little firecracker.
Yep.
And she blushes. And then she reveals that her mom used to call her that when she was little.
Yeah.
And it's this moment where, again, you can see that she is relating the mayor to a paternal figure that she never had.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, the mayor is also referring to himself as Faith's father throughout this episode. So, I mean, it's not like this is out of the blue. Like, he is forging that connection very purposefully.
Mm-hmm. So she asks if she's going to get to fight during the ascension. He says, if everything goes smoothly, you won't have to. But how often do things go smoothly? So she says, you'll still need me. And he says, always.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he tells her to go get some rest. And he is going to go eat his spiders. He is going to nom, nom, nom some spiders.
Mm-hmm. And then Xander is going to the magic shop to try and get some ingredients together for Willow. And apparently Willow just has a running tab there now.
He says he's a little short in cash, and we know why.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just bought that dress for Cordelia.
Yep. And got his own tux, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So as he's going, Anya stops him and wants him to come with her. Her car's outside. She just wants them to drive. And, she says, you know, when I think of something bad happening to you, I feel like I want to barf. Like, she's like, I feel really bad inside. this is awful. No wonder I had like so much business like when I was a demon. And Xander's like, I'm sorry I give you barf feelings.
Yep.
And it's a really cute exchange between Anya and Xander. And it's very much so the beginning of the exchanges we will see between them throughout the seasons.
Where, like, you know, he says that he can't leave because he's got friends who are counting on him. And she's like, so? And he's like, you're still working on being a human. And then she's like, you won't be that helpful. You'll just get in the way. Come with me. And he's like, you're not helping your case. Mm-hmm. And she's like, fine, I hope you die. And then she goes, aren't we going to kiss? She is very confused, as with like previous conversations regarding prom.
Yep. Which leads, like, you know, Xander's walking away and he's a little confused too, because how can you have these interactions and not leave a little confused?
Yep.
So then we go to Angel's mansion. Mm-hmm. And he is not doing well. You know, he's got he clearly has a fever.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly. Which a vampire with a fever, very not good.
Yep. And he's like, he's just dripping in like sweat, and it's not the sexy sweat. It's the
And so Wesley shows up and he says he talked to the council and they won't help. Like, and they have given an order that Buffy is to stop this and focus on the Ascension. And Buffy says, I'm not taking orders from them anymore. And Wesley's like, what? And she's like, until another Slayer's called, they are Slayerless. You can tell them to pack up. And it's just like, finally, like, tell the council to stick it. And Wesley does not know what to do. Like, this was never in the manual he was given.
So there's a part of the scene here where Wesley says, this is mutiny. And the camera flashes to Buffy's face. And you can see, and again, Sarah Michelle Gellar does such great face work, eye work, where you can see her formula. And again, this is a line she just has to deliver. But you can see Buffy formulating the line in her head where she says, I like to think of it as graduation. Mm-hmm. And again, this is something that like Joss Whedon has written for her, but for her to take that moment and to see it in her face as she is going through the thought process of it, such great acting.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And like Wesley basically takes and scampers off after this because he is told in no uncertain terms that he is not wanted there.
Mm-hmm.
And Giles very obviously sides with Buffy. I don't know why Wesley actually tries to get the man who was fired by the council to help.
I know. Giles talked to her.
No.
Willow has used her magic to figure out that it is a mystical compound, translates to killer of the dead. Mm-hmm. And Oz finds that the cure for the killer of the dead is to drain a Slayer's blood.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that there's the whole like, hang on. And Xander saying the suspense is killing Angel.
Yeah. And Xander's actually concerned. That's also like, mm-hmm. at this point, Xander does not want Angel to die. And I think part of that is like, he's well aware that a lot of people are about to, and he's like, why? Like, we don't need somebody else dropping dead on our side right now.
Yep.
So Buffy's plan then very quickly becomes to kill Faith and bring her to Angel to feed on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, it's poetic. Perfect. And off she tries to go. Well, off she does go. But Xander has some very valid concerns for her. Like, he says, like, I don't want this to change you, basically. And she's like, I'll be fine. He's like, that's not what I meant. Like, we saw what happened to Faith when she started killing. Like, yep. I don't want that to happen to you. That's a valid concern. Difference between Faith and Buffy, however, has never just been that, like, Buffy hasn't accidentally killed someone or killed someone on purpose. It's who they are as individual people. Buffy has people that'll keep her grounded in this world. Faith did not. She had the opportunity to, but pushed that all away, and then the person who does ground her to the world is turning into a demon, so... But, so now we have this montage of, like, Faith is training in her apartment. Angel is moaning and not feeling well. And Buffy is getting ready to go fight Faith. And all this stuff going on.
Yep.
So Oz and Willow find the address for Faith. Because they don't know where she's living.
Willow finds it. Oz kind of... You know, they have a little banter thing going on where he's like, check this, you know, and she's like, do you want to drive? And he's like, whoops, sorry. he was trying to mansplain to Willow how to do her Willow thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Oz before has also like sent them in the right path before, but usually it's when switching from technology to book.
Yep.
So hands off the address to Buffy and off she goes. Faith is in her apartment listening to some loud music. Like, Faith is being like a teenager here.
Eating a red Twizzler, which are so much tastier than black licorice.
Yes, black licorice is disgusting. And if you like it, you should be ashamed of yourself. So Buffy comes in and...
Do you think maybe the props department was like, we need to get some black licorice, maybe we should also get some red licorice at the same time? They're just running off to Target and buying it in bulk.
Either that or there was someone on set who like already had like a Twizzler problem and like a black licorice problem. So they were like, we're just going to steal some of this from you.
Yep.
This is your intervention.
Yep.
Faith has no idea that Buffy's there initially until Buffy turns off the music.
Mm-hmm.
This is another difference between Buffy and Faith. Buffy could have just killed Faith right there. End of it, because Faith has no idea that Buffy is there. Or could have just knocked her unconscious, which really, I would have been a fan of her just coming in and being like, whap, and then dragging her unconscious body to Angel's. But that's not how Buffy operates, and that's not going to give us this great fight scene.
Yep.
So, turns off the music, and Buffy's like, I thought I'd stop by.
Do you see how she's dressed, though?
This becomes a very iconic look for her.
Yeah, but it's almost like she's dressed up like Faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know,
wearing the red pleather pants, which... Damn, I wish I could pull off that look. Like, even when I was only 105 pounds, I wish I could have pulled off, like, the pleather pant look.
So what's interesting is the stunt double for Buffy actually really disliked these pants because they were so hard to do, like, the kicks and stuff. And it's like, this is not actually, like, believable if you know anything about like fighting. Like, these are terrible pants. Clearly the person lost out, but very valid points.
Yep. And so, I mean, Faith is wearing dark jeans. It looks like they are a nice pair of jeans that probably the mayor bought her. Mm-hmm. And and Buffy's got the pleather jacket and the pleather jeans, and she is, you know, dressed up like Faith. And Faith says, you know, they have the conversation of, you told me I was just like you, I was holding it in. Faith says, are you ready to cut loose? And then she says, give us a kiss. And, oh, beautiful sexual tension. But then turns right into fighting. Mm-hmm. Beautiful fighting. So.
Yep. So they're fighting all over the place, like literally like destroying Faith's apartment that the mayor has just cleaned up.
Yep.
And I mean, they're pretty well matched here. The fight winds up flying out the window onto the roof. And this, of course, is where the fight flips. Yep. Buffy pulls out Faith's knife, and Faith says, you know, that's mine. And Buffy's like, well, I'm going to give it right back to you. And Faith pulls, because there's some construction stuff outside Faith's apartment on the roof. So it's like a long pole. I don't know what else you would call it. That Faith picks up to fight Buffy. Buffy winds up, you know, winning the exchange, and she stabs Faith in the gut.
Yep.
And Faith, I think both Faith and Buffy are a little surprised that Buffy actually stabs her.
Mm-hmm.
And Faith, you know, is like, way to go, basically. And like knocks Buffy down. It's like, you're not going to get to feed me to your boy, though. And she sees the truck coming on the street below, and she falls backwards onto it after taking the knife out of herself.
Yeah.
Which is important. So Faith is being carried away on this truck, and Buffy's looking out, and this episode ends.
Well, I mean, so we've missed a few things here. We missed at the library. They figure out what the demon might be, because there's a legend of Olokai, which might be a, you know, bastardization of Olvakon, who is an old demon. And so they go and they get out the book and they find the picture of Olvakon, and then they like flip open the centerfold, and then they flip it open again. So it's 3 pages long. And Xander says, quote from Jaws, we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yes.
And then we're at the mayor's office, and the mayor is finishing up his Gavrox, you know, eating. And talking about being regular, because those things are high in fiber. Are they, though? Because you would think they'd be high in protein. Like, where is the fiber coming from? Is it the chitin? Or chitin? Chitin? Anyways, another vampire bursts into the room. And, you know, Mayor tries to scold him on his rudeness, but the vampire says, sir, there's trouble at Faith's. Mm-hmm. And you see immediately there's panic in the mayor's thoughts, or face. And so that is, we then go to the whole, you know, Faith jumping off the roof thing. I did not understand, I mean, there was a line though, should have been there, be quite a ride. What does that mean?
Don't know, like, and that's one of those things, like, I was looking and I didn't find anything, because what we'll see in the next episode is some of the things that Faith says. And the next couple of times we see Faith in like a dream sequence, what she's saying sounds like nonsense, but actually has meaning. Yeah. But I didn't see anything that said that she has meaning right here.
Yeah.
So, we open up then on graduation part 2, and I do have some fun facts for that as well. So when they, blow up the school at the end, they did so at 5 a.m. Mm-hmm. And it was so loud that the town, car alarms went off, windows broke, and Buffy was no longer allowed to be filmed there. They're like, mm-hmm. Never again, get the hell out, Joss Whedon. No. Which is understandable. Like, I'm grumpy in the morning, and that's without someone smashing my windows. And also, Snyder will become the 9th and possibly final member of the faculty to die, at least until the school reopens seasons later. I say maybe, because there might have been some other faculty that die, but this is the only one we see happen.
Did you watch the previously on clips when you were doing your rewatch?
Yeah.
So it's like previously on, and it starts with, Oz and Willow kissing, and Willow saying, "What are you doing?" And Oz saying, "Panicking." And then it flashes to them in bed together after Oz has finished panicking. And then there's, like, the mayor throwing a sword at Giles and saying, "See you at the graduation." And then there's Buffy and Angel in the sewers, and Buffy saying, "I want my life to be with you." And Angel saying, "I don't." And Buffy saying, "I can't believe you're breaking up with me." And then we go to, like, you know, the shot of Angel getting shot in the chest, and then there's, like, you know, his poison, and Angel on the floor, and the only way to save him is to drain the blood of a slayer. You know, it's just very bam, bam, bam. Like, and all of it was brought, like, they really concisely, you know, summed up what happened in the previous episode, but they started with, and Willow had sex. Yeah. They're like, we can't leave that out.
I mean, it does somewhat change Oz and Willow's relationship. You know, they have a more grown-up relationship. They're going off to college together as well. There's one other fun fact that I have. In the scene, and I'm going to mention it now because I don't want to forget it, where Faith and Buffy are sharing, like, that dream sequence. Uh-huh. And she says, the little Miss Muffet counting down from 730. It's in reference to the fact that from there, it's going to be 730 days until Buffy herself dies. And there's lots of, like, tie-ins like that, because Joss Whedon knows where he wants stories to go so far in advance. Like, he already has these stories written out. And I mean, they are subject to change. For example, everyone loving Spike so much that he becomes a regular character, instead of just being killed off. Things like that, you know, are added in and do change, but, like, major story arcs that specifically involve Buffy like that, he is already knows where they're going in his mind. I want to know, like, what all is in his mind specifically for Firefly. But that's another conversation.
Yes.
So, now we're back into graduation day.
Yep.
Two. And Buffy is standing on the rooftop. She leaves the knife, and she climbs down from Faith's apartment right as the mayor and his little vamps get there and are doing a sweep looking for Faith. And the mayor is completely distraught, but, like, doing that calm, trying to, like, reassure himself that, like, you know, Faith's a good girl. She's all right. She's all right. She's all right. And we're like, she's not all right. And he clearly knows it too, because you don't have to tell yourself that she's all right constantly if you don't think that she might not be.
And it's just, yeah, it's the look, and the way that he repeats it, she'll be all right. She'll be all right. Like, it's exact same intonation, like a mantra that he is telling himself.
And then we pan to Xander and Giles. Xander has brought coffee, or, like, the gasoline version of it, basically. And Xander's like, shouldn't you be drinking tea? And I love it. Giles says specifically, tea is soothing. I wish to be tense. And I was like, yes, I understand this 100%. Tea is soothing. Not that you would understand, Jasmine.
I, again, I'm half Arab, half Scottish. I should love tea, and I hate it. Somehow, those two cultures blended their DNA, and I ended up with the anti-tea gene.
It's a delicious substance. So many different kinds. But anyway.
Yes. So, Cordelia storms in wearing teal, and she demands an explanation for Wesley, which Xander says inbreeding. But she says that she was on the phone with him and he was crying He could hardly speak. He was so upset. And, like, I'm trying to imagine this conversation with Wesley, like, sobbing on the phone. Buffy's leaving me. Mm-hmm. I have to leave the country.
Mm-hmm. Like, and he called Cordelia. Like, that's the kicker of it all. And, you know, they explain to Cordelia that Buffy has quit the council. And they were like, she can't. Cordelia's just like, she can't. That's her watcher. And she's like, she doesn't need a watcher anymore. And it's true. She does not need the council interfering.
Yep.
Because that's what it is. Like, they're not helping.
Yeah, they have not helped. Like, the council has not helped at all. Every time the council has shown up, they've just gotten in her way.
The only helpful thing they've ever done is send Giles.
Yep.
And then they fired him. Yep. So, yeah, they're detrimental, if anything. So, Cordelia says, you know, she'll help research, but isn't it just like Buffy to be so selfish?
Uh-huh. Meanwhile... Willow is taking care of Angel, and Angel is delirious and thinks that Willow is Buffy, and is like kissing her hand and says that he shouldn't have tried to leave her. He could never leave her. And she's like, oh, you think I'm Buffy? And then he's like, Willow? And then she like jumps up and she bumps into Oz, and she's like, he thought I was Buffy. And Oz goes, you too.
I wish they would have shown that exchange, like, as a blooper, just like Angel, like, just to see Seth Green's face and all that.
Yep. Like, kissing Oz's hand, I never should leave you.
And Oz being like, no, it's okay, man, like, I understand you gotta go.
Yep. it's we're cool, man.
Yeah. The only one that could have been better is if he was doing that to Xander. And then Xander just leans into it.
Well, no, because Xander would have his, like, homophobic, you know, toxic masculinity response, where he's like, no, I am man.
In my fantasy world, he leans into it. And he's just like, I never actually wanted you to die.
I feel like Seth Green may be like, sure, I'll play into this, you know? Whereas, like, Xander would not, but yeah. Anyways, Buffy comes back without a faith. Mm-hmm. Willow isn't even able to say, did you kill her? Like, they kind of stutter around it, and, Buffy says, could you guys leave? Like, I want to be alone with them. Because Oz has insinuated that since the pain is less now, he's on the verge of death.
Yeah.
So then Buffy goes and she's talking to him. And he says Buffy. And then I guess he recognizes that he has mistaken Buffy for a few times. Because he's like, is that you? Like, it's definitely you? She's like, yeah, it's me. And then she tells him that she can cure him, that he has to drink. And he tries to get away from her, and she is very forceful. Nope, drink. Like, don't drink all of me, but drink. And I guess I wonder about that. Like, did it have to be all the blood of a slayer? Could they have done, like...
It says drain, like, that's...
Yeah, but, I mean, is that mystical? Or could it have been, like... You know, here's Buffy's blood as we're transfusing in, like, a little bit from Willow and a little bit from Oz and a little bit from Xander into Buffy as, like, couldn't they have chained that along? Sort of like how when you do a plasma transfusion, they, like, take it out and they filter it and they put it back in again.
out of all of them, Buffy's the only one with mystical blood. So,
but she doesn't need her mystical blood. He needs her mystical blood. She could be having, like, in one without the other. Like,
But then you would possibly have, you know, this, the rest of this, Buffy's going to bounce back faster. Like, if you have blood taken, you're not at full capacity for a bit. So you would, they would potentially have all the Scoobies, you know, not able to do what they do to survive graduation.
Like, again, I feel like if everybody's giving just a little bit, there are a lot of Scoobs. Like,
okay, we know Cordelia's not going to do it. So that leaves Oz. And so you also, they all have to have Buffy's blood type then.
Yep.
Buffy has an unusual blood type. And by unusual, because we see it at another point, like, actually, we don't see it here. They've said before that she has a weird blood type, but they're able to give her, I mean, it might just be the A, what is it? The universal donor blood. Oh, negative. That's my blood. What am I talking about? So they might just be able to give her that and it'd be fine. But yeah, there's definitely an episode at some point where they talk about how it's not, she doesn't have typical blood.
I mean, I wonder, was it maybe killed by death?
I don't know. I don't know when it is. But they're able, like, they weren't able to do, or maybe it's not this. What am I thinking of? I might be thinking of, in, like, another show or something where someone has, like, a superpower and they're not able to give them blood. Because clearly she gets blood in this episode.
Yes.
But at any rate.
I think that had people communicated with each other better, instead of her just being like, everyone leave the room, Angel eat me. Like,
they don't really have time, though, to go and set all this up. Like, Angel is dying. And then, hey, everyone, you know your blood type? Hope it matches mine. And or being like, actually, I hope you have O negative, and it's very hard to find O negative blood. I know, because they hound me for mine.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, she ends up like punching him in the face until he turns into a vamp face, and then she's like, eh. And then there's this weird scene where you see like his eyes like go downwards, like, you know, he's like looking forward, and he like looks down, like, oh. Oh, there's blood. There's blood by my teeth.
Because, like, I mean, he's dying. So, like, mm-hmm. It takes over at that point because, like, doesn't want to die. So, the scene where he is feeding off of Buffy and they, like, do the slow fall to the floor. Uh-huh. Like, it's very clear that, like, the feeding thing, like, we'll see in, like, Interview with a Vampire and stuff like that, that it's very sexual. This is not, like, and we never, other than, like, the scenes with, like, Darla and Angel, it's never really portrayed as sexual for the human.
Uh-huh.
Even when Spike turns, ow. So, and we can see, like, Buffy's in pain. Like, she crushes a water pitcher. She breaks...
That wasn't an orgasm crush.
I don't think so. Then she breaks that table, and she's like, they zoom in on the tear in her eye as she basically nearly dies, and Angel stops himself and then rushes her to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
So Angel now is super strong because he has Slayer blood in him. Yep. And breaks, they have to ask him if he's on drugs.
Yeah, well, I mean, and so he, like, rolls off of her, and he is panting, and it definitely looks like he has just come sort of thing. Like, it's, like, very sexual on his side, and then he looks down, and it's an, oh, shit, what did I do? Like, she's no longer conscious situation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, again, they ask her, is she on blood? He says, no, she's clean. She needs a transfusion. Something bitter, she needs a transfusion.
Mm-hmm. So they're also giving her a rabies shot.
Yep.
And then Angel goes and calls, I'm assuming Giles. And then we see the mayor is in the next room with Faith. And being told, like, she's lost a lot of blood. She has broken bones. Even, like, it's amazing that she's still alive, but with all of the damage that's been done to her head, like, she's probably never going to wake up.
Yeah.
And even if she does wake up, who knows who she'll be, type thing. And Faith looks rough.
Yeah. They, very rough. The makeup department did an amazing job making her look puffy and beat up.
And so, go ahead.
The mayor, like, looking down, and he, like, he's touching her forehead, and he's, like, stroking her cheek, and he says, "It's your day." Like, it's his day, but he's like, "It's your day." Like, he's grieving.
Yep. And at that point, the nurse comes in and says, "Doctor, like, we're prepping this other girl. She came in, young woman, loss of blood." And the mayor's like, "Well, that's Buffy." And he just goes and tries to smother her with his hand. The nurse tries to stop him and obviously cannot. And then Angel comes in and stops him.
Yep.
And the mayor is murderous. Obviously, I mean, he just tried to murder Buffy, but, like, he is mad.
Calls Buffy a whore. Yep. And, like, he's furious, and he has lost his composure that he almost always has. He's always jolly and composed, and he has lost it here.
Mm-hmm.
And
also, I kind of wonder how the mayor, because the mayor's pretty intelligent. So he knew what that poison was. He had to be banking on them not being able to figure it out, because Faith is the obvious answer to that problem. Killing Faith is the obvious thing. He so poorly underestimated the Scoobies. Mm-hmm. Like, part of his anger is definitely at himself for this, because there's no way he's walking away not blaming himself.
Mm-hmm. I do love, you know, that when he gets knocked backwards, he starts laughing and basically says, like, "It's fine." You know, he says, "The show's not over, but there will be a short intermission."
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So then, you know, we go to the hallway. Angel is, like, waiting and guarding Buffy to make sure she's okay. And then he reveals that Buffy cured him by feeding.
Well, the Scoobies show up.
Yeah.
He's not just talking to himself.
Right, yes. The Scoobies show up. Yep. He's going to the door. They show up. Oz is like, "You seem to be all right." You know, Angel's like, "Yeah, she cured me."
He's got shame face.
Yep. Yeah. And of course, Xander immediately is on the attack again, and he's like, you know, "When the chips are down, you'll feed off the girl who loves to save your own ass," which, yeah, that sucks, but also, again, like, he was dying and now both of them will be okay.
They don't know Buffy's going to be okay. Like, she's the one in the hospital. She has not woken up yet. Giles is short with Angel too. He doesn't want to see him. He wants him gone. Yeah. So I don't really blame Xander for this reaction. Again, he knows that, yeah, come graduation day, he's probably dying along with everyone else he knows, but, like, Buffy also is their really only shot at surviving this, and she might be dying or at least not able to show up, which kills them all. Like, this, even if it was Buffy's decision, again, if Angel is able to make this decision to leave town for Buffy's own good, not killing her is also for Buffy's own good. So I cannot fault Xander for this reaction. I mean, it all does turn out all right, but in that moment when you're like, "Is my friend about to die?" And I mean, what he says is very minuscule compared to what he said in the past.
It's true. 100% true. So we then go to a Buffy Faith co-dream in Faith's, like, smashed up apartment, but it's sunny now, it's daylight, and there's cardboard boxes everywhere. And there's a cat on Faith's bed. And Buffy says, who's going to look after him? And Faith says, it's a she. And aren't these things supposed to take care of themselves? And it's kind of a, you know, Buffy says a higher power. And Faith's like, that's pretty sure that's not what I meant. And I feel like, again, they are showing Faith is the cat. Like, that the cat, the stray kind of wounded cat that takes care of itself, that probably claws you when you get too close.
And I could be wrong. The apartment is packed up, but it's not smashed up like when they fought. It's just packed up, right?
The windows are still smashed out. Okay. From where they fought through it.
Yeah. And Faith acknowledges that, like, she's not making the most sense during this because of the scar tissue. And she says, like, human weakness never goes away, even his. And Faith is trying to help Buffy, which is interesting. Like, she's the one that she's the one that has put her into a coma. And Faith is going to share her memories with her, which I think is supposed to be the symbolism of all of these boxes that are packed up. Yep. Like, she's sharing everything, all of her knowledge with Buffy, in a touch, which is not something that we've seen before in Buffyverse. But we also, they've never had two Slayers share a prophecy, or not prophecy dream, but a dream.
Yep. A psychic connection dream.
Yeah. A coma dream, really. They're both in a coma.
Yep. Yep. And again, there is this connection between Buffy and Faith that is, it's strong. And there is this, you know, Faith went dark side, but she has a love for Buffy. And I think Buffy has a love for Faith. Like, you know, the relationship turned toxic, but they still understand each other in a way that only they can understand each other.
Yeah.
So yeah, but also I think that Faith, higher power, she says a lot of new stuff in my head, mm-hmm. right? And I think that she has received, because she's closer to death, a bit more of an understanding of the future. Like, she is having a prophecy dream the way that Buffy had prophecy dreams before, and she is passing along that information. But it's also making her more forgiving to Buffy, because she has that information now.
Mm-hmm. And I also, like, she probably also understands her own life more, and how, like, mistakes that she herself made, things like that. Because I don't think, when she passes on information, I highly doubt she passes on the information of when Buffy is going to die.
Yeah.
Even though she says, you know,
yep.
430 days, basically. Not that Buffy or anybody else in their right mind would be able to understand the Miss Muffet thing.
I know. Yep.
So Buffy, after Faith touches her fate, oh my God, I can never say this. After Faith touches Buffy's face.
Is it the third episode in a row you've had a problem with this?
Yeah, it's just a life problem for me at this point. So passes along this information to Buffy. Buffy wakes up.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets up out of bed and is not attached to any sort of machine that would make any sort of noise, which I find unbelievable. And, you know, goes and sees Faith and gives her a kiss on the forehead, in this really sweet moment. But it all started with that, right? With Faith kissing Buffy's forehead and saying, like, you're not ready for this yet.
Yep.
Killer. And then Buffy gets dressed and goes to the Scoobies and is like, we got this now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going
to war.
Yep. And it's now graduation day and Buffy gives the Scoobies her plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Xander is a key player in this. They need his military knowledge.
Yep.
And he's thinking like rocket launcher. Not quite. It's going to be a more of a boom.
Yep.
But as she's giving out the plan, is it Cordelia? I think it's Cordelia says, like, could we have a more ridiculous plan? And Oz says, we could attack the mayor with hummus. Mm-hmm. More ridiculous. Just trying to, like, point that out.
Yep.
And I do like Cordelia's idea of, like, getting a box and writing Ebola on it and chasing him with it.
Yep. Yep. Like,
because prior to him becoming impervious to harm, I think chasing him around with a box would have been just like a great alternate reality, Ebola on it.
So we do comment that the plan hinges on Buffy being able to control the mayor. And Buffy says, Faith told me to plan his human weakness. And they're like, before or after the coma? And she's like, after. And you see Willow's face like, what? Okay, like, but, you know, mystical, magical world. Let's just run with it.
Yeah.
And, again, they have the Ebola conversation. But then Angel is the one that says Faith. After they talk about the hummus offensive. Mm-hmm. But then Faith and how he was grieving. And Buffy's like, I can work that. Like, I can work that situation. Mm-hmm.
And then Wesley shows up.
Yep. And Buffy says Council's not welcome. If she needs someone to scream like a woman, she'll give him a call. But Wesley says he's not here for the Council. Just, you know, he is ready to take orders from Buffy, not take orders from the Council at this point.
Yeah. Like, he knows what's about to go down. He's not just going to walk away.
Yep.
So...
Then we have split back and forth.
No, so Buffy says that Angel and Xander have to work together for mm-hmm. And Xander's like, am I still point guy? And then yes, he can work with me. And Angel's just like, Jesus. And like they're like sniping at each other, and Buffy's like, get it together.
Mm-hmm. But right now we're doing a back and forth between Buffy giving orders and the mayor giving orders, mm-hmm. and mayor giving orders to the vampires, and they're like, well, we can't help you. And he's like, yes, you can, because of the sun, there's going to be an eclipse. And that's when we flip back to Angel being like, oh, I'm back in the game as well. Mm-hmm. And then we're flipping back to, you know, you guys come here, you guys go there. People saying, all right, you know, let's break and head off towards recruitment sort of thing, which is when we have the mayor saying, okay, and boys, let's watch the swearing. Mm-hmm.
and like, we know that something's like, so Xander, goes and talks to Harmony about something, and Willow grabs Percy. Yep. And then we go to Cordelia and Wesley, who have the most awkward kiss ever in history. And everyone is just like, ugh. Like, good on Wesley, Alexis, whatever his name is, the last name. Like, what he's doing with those glasses. Like, I can't stop looking at, like, how awkwardly he is, like, fumbling with his glasses in his hand as they are weirdly kissing.
Mm-hmm.
It is like you cringe with your whole body watching.
Yep.
And then it's just like, oh, thank God that's over with.
Yes.
So you also see Willow and Oz handing off stuff to Jonathan and Larry. And at this point, so we're seeing these lesser characters in Buffy being brought in, who are reoccurring characters, but are not title characters.
Yep.
And then Willow and Oz in the van clearly, like, do the nasty yet again.
Yep. Van sex.
Yep. And then Buffy and Angel in the library. And Angel reveals that, like, if they survive, he's not saying goodbye. He's just going to go.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the Irish goodbye because he's Irish. And Buffy, at this point, like, Angel walks out and we see that she has retrieved Faith's knife that she had stabbed Faith with and still has Faith's blood on it.
Yep.
Which is her ace in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
And she also, like, once she gets into her graduation gown, you see, like, she has no bandages on her neck. Her neck has healed from Angel's bite. And man, that maroon really does not look great on anyone, which is about right. Like, graduation outfits are not supposed to look good on anyone.
Yeah, and, but isn't Willow wearing yellow?
Like, no. I didn't.
Underneath,
yeah, but I'm the gown thing is the maroon, which is bleh, for everyone. I want to know, like, was Willow the valedictorian? You would think.
Uh-huh, you would think. I mean, but who else would be that year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because, well, maybe the guy who she always went up against in the science fair, or Oz, but Oz wasn't great at homework, so.
Yep.
So the mayor, I love the fact that mayor gets up to speak. Oh, but before that, Snyder is the most Snyder he has ever been. He's like, today is a day for celebration. No talking, no cheering. Like, yep. No happiness shall happen whatsoever.
I feel like Snyder excessive talking is what throws the mayor off of his speech. Where, like, you know, Snyder's there like, I saw that gesture. You see me after graduation, blah, blah, blah. That extra time that he took was time that the mayor could have been giving his speech about change and civic duty. And
possibly, but also, like, the mayor is so long-winded. I just don't think he planned well enough for that. Like, and I love how when he gets up in there, like, oh my God, he's going to do the whole speech. What kind of sicko is this?
Yep.
But he's been writing it for 100 years.
Uh-huh. And it's
psychopath.
It's actually a pretty good graduation speech. Like, talking about, you know, journeys and change. And but then he, you know, there's
changes.
There's the eclipse and changes and skip to the big finish and turns into a giant snake.
Mm-hmm. And do you notice all the parents run. They leave their children to be eaten, and they get the hell out of there.
Yep.
Bad parents. Shame finger. You're 18 now, kids. Figure it out.
But, I mean, the parents didn't know. Like, the parents are expecting their kids to be running with them, and the kids are like, nah, we're gonna fight.
Yep. Yep, none of them move, but the vamps appear in the back to, like, cut off anybody who does try to run.
Yep.
After the parents really get out of there. And then, you know, they go now, everyone rips off their graduation gowns and they have, like, they all have weapons on them. Yep. Like, this is not something you would be able to do today, because I know for my year, we were all basically padded down, because the year before us, so every year at our school, like, the graduating class did something on stage. Like, was it your year that took apart a toilet and handed the principal a piece?
I think we gave dum-dums our year.
Oh.
We gave dum-dum I think it was my brother's year that they broke apart a toilet and somewhat the very last person on stage handed the, like, handle of the toilet to the teacher.
Yeah, we well, I shouldn't say our year did not get padded down. I was wrong about that. It was the year after us that they started doing that, because our year, the principal got hit. It was the year she was retiring, and she got hit in the face with a sex doll that then landed on the podium. So after that, because they stopped our graduation twice to yell at us. Like, an officer came up on stage and yelled at us. Ooh. And I just remember the guy sitting next to me was playing on a DS or something like that and looked up and just went, ugh, and went back to him. And I was like, oh my God. And I feel like that's most people during graduation. Oh my God. Certainly that's them during the mayor's speech.
But anyways, Xander is leading the group, and he's, you know, got his flame units. We've got Larry with a flamethrower. And they're like holding the mayor back, basically. They're using fire to keep him at bay. And Willow has like a lance, like gun. It's more than just like a crossbow. She's got like a, you know, like
a harpoon almost.
Like a harpoon gun.
They have a lot of weapons. And then, so after the flame comes, Xander yells, first wave fire, because in the back, when the vamps show up, and like some of the students do try to run, and the vamps kill them. So then Oz has everyone like sees that, and they light their arrows on fire. And it's not crossbows, it's bow and arrows, which apparently they're just much better at that. And
maybe like, there was an archery team. Maybe they're like, archery team, you're her
fire. And they just start taking out vamps left and right. And so one of the things that we do see, though, Larry does not make it out of this fight. He is killed. Which is so sad. Like, he gets to be his authentic self before he dies, but come on. Snyder dies yelling at the mayor about how he will have order. And he bites him to death. The vamps look, and there is another wave of Angel and Wesley and
Percy
and other students, and they are coming at the vamps like for hand-to-hand combat, and Wesley is immediately knocked on his ass. And that's where he stays. He's like, clothesline. And he just lays there, and he's like, excuse me, help me. And no one has time to help you, Wesley. Help yourself.
We see Harmony get bit. Now, the mayor specifically said, do not feed. But Harmony gets bit.
Yeah, she does. And then we see Cordelia actually slays a vampire. She had actually requested to do that. She asked Joss if, she was like, my character hasn't gotten to slay anyone, can I? And so that's why she has that scene. And she's like, Cordelia was almost cast as Buffy. And she has a pretty good like stance too. And she takes and she does a good slay. She really does. She has good form. And so Buffy then begins to taunt the mayor with the knife. And he follows her because she starts running through the school. And he's just like barreling through walls.
So like you see her, she's going through doors, and he just is ignoring the doors and just slams through the walls.
And then they get to the library. She goes out the back door, and he looks around and sees all these explosives. And does he say, well, gosh, or well done?
Well, gosh. Well, gosh. Like, which is such a great Mayor Wilkins line.
And then Giles is the one that blows up the library.
Blows up the school. But do you see Cordelia is next to Jonathan? And, like, Jonathan wraps his arm protectively around her. Like, good job.
I love Jonathan. Like, he's just so fun in like, high school. I mean, not where he nearly kills himself, obviously. But he's had quite the journey. So, the school and the library blow up. And then it comes in. Wesley is being wheeled away. On a gurney as he's begging for something for pain. He's like, an aspirin, anything, just knock me out. And the firefighters are like not paying attention to him at all.
You know, having suffered a neck injury, I can say like neck injuries are really painful. And if he actually like hurt his neck, like he might be like, this actually really hurts. Like,
yeah.
And neck he's injury just too. A guy. He's not a slayer. Like he is just a guy.
Yeah, it's very true. I've suffered neck injuries and they are awful. That being said, like, there are plenty of other people around who are not slayers who just had their asses handed to them and they are not crying.
Yep.
And it's definitely done to really contrast, like, Giles and Wesley. Because yep. Giles is much older and is just, like, waddling around being Giles. Although he wasn't so much in this fight. I mean, he was, and he got to do the plunge. But, so it's Buffy and Xander that are walking around. And Xander lets Buffy know, like, Angel made it through the fight.
Yep.
You know, and I think he just left after that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was a very kind thing for, like, he knew, like, because she's looking around. And Angel said he would just leave. But also, he's a vampire, so there wouldn't be a body if he was killed. It would just be dust.
Yeah.
So Xander walks away. Giles walks up. And Buffy's saying, like, her brain's not really working at all.
Bad tree pretty.
Yep. And Giles starts having this existential, like, conversation with himself. And Buffy's like, fire bad, tree pretty.
Yep.
He's like, right. Here's your diploma. Found this.
And as she, you know, is looking away, she sees Angel, like, through, like, by a fire truck. He is far away from her. She looks at him. He looks at her. And then, you know, there's poof of smoke, and he's gone.
Yeah.
And
it's funny, because, like, when they're doing the close-ups, they look like they're really far away, but then when they do the close-out shot, they're like, they're much closer than I would have thought.
Yeah.
And it's a really cool shot, like, that they do there of Angel, like, walking away. Like, just
for his own show.
Oh, yeah. Off into the smoke he goes. And then the Scoobies all gather to talk about how they've survived high school, as Oz points out. They survived high school, which is a big deal in Sunnydale.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really what your high school diploma is for, to be like, I made it out. Not everyone, a lot of people don't. And they take a moment and they go, yep. And they all turn and, you know, walk away. And we see a burnt up, slightly scorched class of 99 yearbook just hanging out there.
It says, the future is ours.
Mm-hmm. And our Scoobies are now done with high school. And Giles is jobless again.
Yep.
Giles is not good at hanging on to his jobs.
I know. But yes. Oh, this was, I do love the mayor as a villain and as a big bad.
He is my favorite villain of all time in Buffy. And Angel, for that matter.
I mean, I'm honestly trying to think if I have a I mean, like, I love Spike. But Spike never ends up being the big bad.
Like, no. He likes to call himself it, but...
Call himself the big bad, but he never ends up being the big bad.
No. Faith becomes... Is more of a big bad than Spike is. I mean, and she also has her redemption. But, yeah, no, like, the mayor. And, like, he's just such a great character. He's so well written, and he's so well played.
Yep.
And then I love, so Mayor Wilkins, the man who plays him, winds up in How I Met Your Mother as well, along with Allison Hannigan and Wesley. And he's playing, like, this hippie man, which is just so great. Like, this idea of, like, Mayor Wilkins, like, being human and growing up and becoming a hippie. Like, yeah. That's where my mind goes. He's always, no matter what, he's always Mayor Wilkins.
Yep.
Just in an alternate reality.
Well, this is it. We've made it through season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is our mini-sode. We're going to be handing out our own little superlatives. Not, you know, Buffy Summers class protector and class clown, but our own season 3 superlatives. And, but yeah, and then we're moving on into next season.
Ooh, you know what we should do? We should dig up our own class picture, or not, like our senior picture. I know we both had multiple ones. If you can't find yours, I have yours hanging around somewhere.
Okay. Okay.
Jazz was like, I don't like this idea.
I was an awkward teenager. I'm also an awkward adult. So I just love it.
I always loved your senior pictures, specifically the one with the cape.
The Renaissance cloak. I made and sold Renaissance cloaks my senior year of high school and my first couple of years in college. I would make custom Renaissance cloaks for people, double-sided crushed velvet. Mm-hmm. And yes, one of my...
So warm.
They were so warm. And I used to lure people to cuddle with me. I'd be like, it's cold. And I'd be like, come, let me wrap you in my cloak.
It's a true story.
Yes.
Watch Buffy and cuddle in my cloak.
Uh-huh.
How Sabrina and Jasmine became friends.
All right. Anyways, thank you so much for just jostling with me this week.
It's always an honor to travel to the Hellmouth with you.
And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.